Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tower number two here, Football Sunday, WEEI, Christian Arcan, Teddy J, Chris Scheim, and Megan Adelini here with you going until 1 o'clock. We will hear from Tommy Curran in about a half an hour. We'll get our inactives as well, let you know who's playing, who's not playing, if Christian Gonzalez's name is on that list or not. Be very interested in seeing that. And if not, knowing how much he is going to play. Also, we'll get a closer look here at the Carolina Panthers and what that team's all about. But first, it is time for They Said It.
One, two.
It's time for...
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
I just hope we can win a game.
But they are who we thought they were.
They said it.
And we let them off the hook.
Football Sunday edition.
36 counter naked waggle at 7.
I'm just going to say
it. WEEI.
Oh, baby, it's been another week of sports, and a lot of guys have talked in the media this week, including one, Pop Douglas. He joins the Greg Hill Show every other Friday, alternating with Robert Spillane on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI. And Pop talked about not allowing bad things or bad moments to steal his joy. A lot of people were upset with how he kind of laughed at the question about the fourth down play there at the end of the game against the Steelers. They didn't really like it. Here was Pop kind of responding to that.
Yeah, I mean, I was mad about it, but I can't let that steal my joy. You know, there's always going to be a smile on my face. You know, I felt like I was blessed with to smile, and I always smile regardless of, you know, a lot of things. I smile. That's just me. But don't get me wrong, though. I was definitely, you know, disappointed about it. I know I could have done, you know, definitely something different, but, you know, it happens. It happens to the best. And I feel like, you know, if I could take it back, I would, but I can't. And, you know, on to the Panthers now.
So Pop Douglas not allowing it to steal his joy.
I will say this. It's the laughing. People got distracted by the laughing. What they should have focused on is the words that came out of his mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his explanation.
Worse than the laugh.
It was, I was like, oh, my God, I don't think he has any clue on what he did wrong.
Well, that was Wiggy's big thing.
That's the scary
thing. He didn't
even
know where the sticks were.
Okay, can I walk through that play real quick?
Please, go for it, Ted.
Right, so he was off the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And Steph Diggs was on the line of scrimmage. They're both kind of lined in a stack formation. And it's four steps that you see both of them. They take four, one, two, three, four, plant, and cut out. Both of them do the exact same four steps.
Yep.
And cut. One's on the line of scrimmage. The other one is a yard off the line of scrimmage. And he decides to throw to the one that is short of the sticks. So either he should have gone to Steph Diggs, who was across the first line, first down marker, or DeMario Douglas should have taken five steps. One more revolution, as Ray Rabel said. To get to the first down marker, either Drake May missed Steph Diggs or else Pop Douglas didn't do enough revolutions in his route running. Either way, that's poor situational execution and it's funny, you see who's out there on the field. Okay, you have Hunter Henry's out there. You have Ramondre Stevenson's on the field. You have Steph Diggs on the field. You have Kayshawn Booty, and you have DeMario Douglas. Of all those guys, who's got the least amount of catches?
Pop.
It's Pop.
There's a reason.
So they went to the guy in the most critical situation who's the worst receiver statistically on your team in a high impact situation like that, it made no sense to me that he would be the go-to guy in that call.
So the only thing that I could think would be that Pop does get separation, and so maybe on that play, Drake thought in the moment, like, okay, this is going to be the safest look for me because, of course, he's going to get the first down. He's right there. Whereas somebody like Diggs, who, again, I want to see much more of. The guy's only playing like 50% of snaps on game day, Steph Diggs. Mm-hmm. Like, get him out there more. He says he's healthy. Get him on the field more. If it means putting him in the slot instead of Pop,
put him in the slot.
Totally fine with that. Well, but I think with Diggs, like, he's always going to have somebody on his back. He's always going to have somebody right there. And Drake just needs to know enough or feel enough confidence that Diggs is going to have that catch still.
So that was my big thing, right? If you look at the formation, bottom of the screen was Booty, then Pop, mm-hmm. then Diggs, and then the offensive line. Like, for me, it should have been Booty, Diggs, and Mac Hollins. Like, that's your three best receivers, because Mac Hollins allows for the versatility of the idea that you're going to run the football or he can still catch the ball, and then you're allowing Diggs to play in the slot. And Diggs is the most reliable actual catcher of the football you have. He should be the guy there that's playing in the slot, and Drake feels the pressure, has to throw hot. If that ball goes to Diggs, that's a first down.
That might be the adjustment they make today, is putting Diggs more in the slot. And then Kyle Williams.
Absolutely do it.
And I'm a big fan of Mac Hollins. You know, I mean, the size, I know he's a good blocker, but hell, did you see that touchdown he had?
Yeah. Guy can catch the football too.
It's going to be hot today. He likes playing in
the
heat.
He does. That's true.
So does Drake.
Real quick, not to be an amateur psychiatrist here or anything like that, but if ever a play was going to steal someone's joy, wouldn't it be the play where it's fourth and one and you get stuffed before then because you jump backwards? And his quote after, you're right, he goes, it was just a play. It wasn't designed for anything. It was just a play. No. It was designed for something. It was designed to pick up a first down on fourth and two. That's what the whole design was. And he goes, well, I knew it was somewhere near it because we only had 2 yards and I don't want it to steal my joy. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, well, if that doesn't steal your joy, then I just feel like you're never going to get affected by a mistake that you made.
No.
You know, like, not that he has to torture himself or anything, but you know, maybe take a break with the joy after you screw up like that. You know,
that's a quick one. Just 15 minutes without the joy might be good. It might be good for the soul.
Maybe.
You never know.
What else we got?
Let's head over to the Carolina Panthers. Your opponent this week, Dave Canales, spoke to the media and delivered a bit of a, I would say, backhanded compliment in the direction of Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. Here was Dave Canales.
Really just watching his teams, you know, in Tennessee over the years, and then, you know, as a coordinator in Houston. And I think the signature is they don't do a lot. What they do really well. And that's what he's looking for. And it goes to the same thing. If he can get his guys in position where they know what to do, then they can fly around and play physical and make plays. And that certainly is happening. What I see on film, that is happening for that group on both sides, you know, where they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. They have some wrinkles, but it's pretty good, just clean football and guys playing hard.
They don't do a whole lot, but, you know, when they do stuff, it's pretty good.
And I don't know if it's clean.
It's not accurate in any way.
I don't think he knows the Patriots at all.
No. I'm not convinced that Dave Canales isn't actually a good football coach.
Careful, that's Mego's guy. Just
he's so
that.
Handsome.
He is hot. He was a sex addict, right?
He and his wife wrote a book. Right. And they,
that she totally didn't force him to write. Yes, that's definitely what happened.
Yeah, him and those joggers, though. He's a
only
hot
only because Arcan brought it up. Definitely most attractive coach in the league.
Question for you, then. Who's hotter, him or Cliff Kingsbury in that draft photo at that really nice house? Climax moment for me.
Are you talking about where he's wearing the indoor loafers?
Yeah.
That was given a little too much, like Kendall Roy from Succession.
Ooh, too much?
So
okay.
I didn't like that.
So you prefer Dave Canales.
Was it Cliff that had the portrait of himself in his house?
No way, he did?
That sounds amazing.
I hear something
that.
Like that.
I need to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Like A-Rod. A-Rod, kind of. right. Interesting, I didn't know that about Canales. I got to do some research.
I got to tell you, the hot
Mego's done enough research on this for all four of us.
You guys are the ones who brought it up quite a bit.
The hot coach is in. Like, there's a lot of really handsome coaches out there now. Like climax who? Moment for me.
Sean McVay.
Emergency top five Shime's hottest coaches.
I'll do it right now. I'll dial it up.
Okay.
Sean McVay.
No. Not for me. Adult blonde. No, thank you.
Vikings
he's also,
coach.
Yeah. Kevin O'Connell. Handsome guy.
He is handsome.
Dave Canales. Smoke show. I think the Texans coach.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans.
Handsome
very
guy.
Very handsome guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulls off bald better than most men.
Yeah.
There's four. And then fifth.
Green Bay. One of the.
Matt LaFleur.
Pete Carroll.
No, definitely not Pete Carroll. Unfortunately, doesn't make the list.
How about Aaron Glenn's dance moves on the sidelines?
There you go.
Okay. Those are pretty
hot dance moves, right?
And then they ended up losing the
game. Can I spank you with my wand?
All right. Let's go outside New England to a guy who used to be here. That would be one Tyquan Thornton. He is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs and actually playing a big role for the Kansas City Chiefs as the deep threat on that team. He talked to the media this week about his time in New England and how he dealt with social media. Here is Tyquan Thornton.
Man, that moment was pretty huge for me because I know, like, my time there in New England while I was there, you know, the media used to try to beat up on me a little bit bad, you know. So I remember, like, just, you know, not having the best game of my career, being a young player, you know, going to Twitter and seeing, like, you know, the media just beating you up. So I used to get down on myself a little bit, but, you know, just looking at myself in the mirror, just knowing who I truly am, you know what I'm saying? Keeping my head high, you know, just keep pounding at the rock and, you know, just keep working. Now, like, it's starting to show a little bit. So I just want to keep on getting better and just keep on improving.
Have you been?
Hey, so the media was mean when I should never stay on
get
the
him,
field.
Mega. Get
guys,
him, Mega.
You guys
get
feel responsible for his resurgence because you guys.
I'm happy for him.
Crapped on him.
I am too.
I'm happy for the
too.
Guy. I am.
The guy's averaging 19 yards per catch.
Yeah, there were moments here where you thought there might be something, right? Like that 2-touchdown game he had, I think it was
against the
Cleveland.
Bengals. Maybe it was one of them.
One of the two.
Cleveland or Cincinnati. I remember, like, that game thinking, yeah, wow, you got something here.
Yeah, like, oh my God, I see the explosion. I see the plan. And then nothing came to fruition. He was always kind of hurt, and now he's been the poor man Xavier Worthy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they didn't have a deep threat since they lost, like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Xavier Worthy. In comes Tyquan Thornton, and he is Marquez Valdes-Scantling all over again for them. Like, he provides them with some opportunity for a deep shot down the field.
You're right, it was Cleveland.
Some of these guys, when they say that they see stuff on social media and they're like, well, the media is after me, a lot of times it's not the media. I didn't see a ton of beat writers over the last several years be like, you know, popping off on crazy stuff on Tyquan Thornton.
It's
like
some dude with a Tom
media.
Brady Twitter
exactly.
profile picture.
So,
tweeting at
I it. Definitely was... never ripped Tyquan Thornton okay. on the show. That never happened.
Well,
so.
While he was here on social
oh, no,
media, you're putting Tyquan on blast. Like,
well, also, you just sort of throw him in a pile with all the other bad
right.
failed receiver. You know what I mean? Like,
you just
it wasn't
kind of
even so much him. Yeah.
But it's not, there's this sense that the media here locally is so brutal and tough, and same with Philly, and same sometimes with some teams in New York. But it's like, the social media reaction is not equivalent to people who are covering the team every day who are like, correct. You know what I would like to be doing on Sundays? Watching good football. And I'm not just sitting here to rip you. Like, we would like for a second round draft pick who is a receiver to actually succeed.
We'd
actually, most people watching want to see that.
I'll be honest, though. Tyquan Thornton's the perfect thing for that offense. They're the worst at explosive plays. Yeah. Kansas City cannot.
They're the worst at everything.
And they've been that way for a little while. They're right, they are.
All they needed was Tyquan.
Do you want to know
the only thing Tyquan can do is run,
he's
run
a
straight
that's
downfield.
That's all they need
really fast.
Because they can either complete the pass or draw a DPI and it moves them down the field. Mm-hmm. And that's how they produce offenses. It's that, take deep shots, or Patrick Mahomes scrambles.
They're getting
that's
drilled
it.
Today. I think the Ravens are going to throttle them.
Really?
I hope so.
The Ravens are 1-2.
Yeah, they haven't looked great.
And they are averaging 36 points a game. They lead the NFL in
that
points per game.
That defense is not good, though.
And the Chiefs are averaging 20. I mean, they average more than 2 touchdowns more than the Chiefs do.
So I would pose
you know,
the
just
question.
Just wait till Tyquan Thornton gets
yeah,
out
I guess
there.
So. Maybe
see
we'll
what
see.
He does.
Here
yeah.
we go, the media.
Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Tyquan has like 100 yards and a touchdown today.
Wouldn't shock me.
This Ravens defense has been that bad.
You wouldn't
against
be
the pass.
Shocked if he has 100 yards?
And a touchdown, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I just think the Ravens
defense would be a little
he's like their whole offense.
And I just think, ultimately, this game is more important for Kansas City than it is Baltimore. Like, if you look at Baltimore's schedule, it gets really easy in the next couple of weeks. So, like, you get the Texans, who've been atrocious. You get the Bears, Dolphins, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots.
Yeah,
like,
speaking
it's just,
of social media, I saw you calling for Bobby Slowick.
Oh, yeah, retribution for Bobby Slowick. Because the Texans
to revisit that case.
Stink!
Nick
everybody,
Kaley, boy.
Everybody blamed it on Bobby Slowick. No, maybe it was just the offensive line sucks and C.J. Stroud isn't as good as we thought he was.
Oh, I can't know. I've seen him flash too much.
Trust me, I like C.J. Stroud. I hope it's more so just the offensive line. Yeah. But even if it's just the offensive line, again, justice for Bobby Slowick.
Yeah. I'm surprised to hear you call out C.J. Stroud there.
Yeah.
You never do that.
He's been bad.
He was good against the Patriots last
year.
He sliced up the Patriots last year.
Yeah, and even in his first year, he was fantastic. But this year, he has been. They have like they're averaging, I think, the lowest points per game.
The worst offense. They have,
and they face like Jacksonville.
When Red Zone jumps to one of their games, I'm like, anything else.
Speaking of Red Zone,
just a turn away from this.
Speaking of Red Zone, they're the only team that has yet to get a touchdown in the red zone.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, the Nico Collins touchdown was from like the 40.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
All right. Well, Megan Ottolini has to go cover this game. Mego, pleasure as always. Nice ice today, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
nice
looking
ice,
good.
Baby.
Very nice. All right. Well, we'll see you later. Mego's out of here. She's going to head down to Gillette. If you see her down there, say hello and say great job this morning, especially on the in the locker room with Marcus Jones.
Thank you. Hey, Shyam, I'll say hi to Dave Canales for you.
Please do.
Tell him your list.
Yeah, you slide in my number. We can hang out anytime.
Tell him hi from all of us. When we come back, we will hear from Tommy Curran. It's coming your way at 10:30. We'll also have our inactives and a couple other storylines from this game as we take a look more in-depth at the Carolina Panthers, what that team's all about, and what they did last week to the Atlanta Falcons. First, here's Chris Scheim, and he's going to get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, your New England Patriots kickoff at Gillette at 1 o'clock this afternoon to take on Bryce Young, Dave Canales, the hot coach, and the Carolina Panthers. Some injury news around the league. Chris Godwin will be making his season debut for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. Justin Fields will return from a concussion Monday night against the Dolphins. And the Ravens have placed defensive lineman Justin Matabike on IR. We've already started international play here in the NFL. Vikings and Steelers underway in Dublin. The Steelers currently lead 14-6. The second half is now underway, just about 3 minutes into the third quarter. In the 1 o'clock window today, we have Commanders at Falcons, Saints at Bills, Browns at Lions, Chargers at Giants, and Eagles at Buccaneers, and Titans at Texans. In the 4 o'clock window, Colts at Rams, Jaguars at 49ers, Bears at Raiders, and the big 4 o'clock game today, the Ravens will be at the Kansas City Chiefs. And on Sunday Night Football, we'll get to see Micah Parsons return to Dallas, this time as a Green Bay Packer to take on the Cowboys, kickoff at 8:20. In non-football news, the Boston Red Sox lost to the Tigers last night 2-1. They'll go again with the Tigers this afternoon. First pitch 3:05 right here on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping. Get rewarded. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game for you. Make sure to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 2:05 with Joe Weil. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost, TC.
Tom got a little aggressive.
Tommy Curran, who we're going to talk to here in about 5 minutes, working blue over there with the WEEI Afternoons crew. Also really into the idea of bullying people when they screw up, which also, I got to say, I like that too. Got to be meaner to each other. Vrabel's got to be meaner. Players got to be meaner to each other. More bullying, better for this football team. I know what he's saying, and I do think that there does need to be some accountability. That was my main topic of the week. But Kern's going to follow up on that. We'll hear from him here in just about 5 minutes. But before we react further to that, we do have a little bit of not quite breaking news, but Christian Gonzalez, who was listed as questionable on Friday's injury report, is working out in his t-shirt and shorts on the field before the game, generally a indicator that that player is going to play. So it looks like Christian Gonzalez will make his season debut today. Mike Reese just tweeted that out about 5 minutes ago that Gonzalez is set to do this. It would be a shock at this point if he ends up on that inactives list. So there you go. It is a beautiful day, by the way, about 80 degrees and very little wind. There was a Revs game last night at Gillette, so they had the crew out there with the drying machines and all that, getting the field ready to go here. But, yeah, it is a perfect, perfect fall day for football.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited to see kind of what Gonzo brings to the table this week, how healthy he is. We'll get a good idea if he's 70, 80, 90, 100%, and kind of how many snaps he plays. Again, like, I don't really expect him to play every snap. I think this is – I said this with Mego in the preseason. Like, I feel like this was the – to me, this was the cautious timeline where you get him in against Carolina. He plays like 50%, especially against a guy like Tet, who's not the biggest burner, but he is a big, strong receiver, and he's talented. So it's a good guy to match up against to feel out how strong that hamstring is, get yourself back, and then be 100% to go against the Buffalo Bills next weekend.
If I were the Carolina Panthers, I would test him out.
I would throw it right at him.
I would throw it right at him, but what I would do also is I would do toss sweeps to his side. I want him to come up and make tackles. I want to see how tentative he is, how aggressive he is. You know, a lot of I remember Belichick. A big strategy of his was there were cornerbacks that could cover all day, but they could tackle for nothing.
Yeah,
right. And
for sure.
So let's do toss crack sweeps. Let's get them kind of to come up and make plays. And that's what I would do if I was Carolina. Target him, especially in the run game.
Well, yeah, if you see an early 2nd-and-1, I wouldn't be shocked if they go like play action and take a shot down the field to Tet or whoever Christian Gonzalez is on, just to kind of test out where Gonzo is speed-wise down the field.
And I wonder, too, Chris, if they might decide, you know what, let's play a little bit more zone. If you're man-to-man, then you're chasing guys all around. Yep. We're zone. It's a little easier for the DB to
force.
You don't have to work as hard, essentially. So
force Bryce to stay in the pocket and actually make the throw instead of allowing him to get out and scramble a little bit.
It's interesting with that offense, too, because it's a pretty straightforward rushing attack. Hubbard and Rico Dowdle are both, pretty strong power running backs.
Yeah, they're
fine. But their passing game with McMillan, Leggett's not playing today, right? Is he out? Do we know?
He was out last week. I don't know if he's in this week.
Foghorn, Leghorn over there. I love listening to that guy.
loves himself some raccoon.
Yeah, for sure. Renfro, though, Jimmy Horn, like they have different ways they can attack you with this offense. And for a guy like McMillan, who was a very high draft pick and, a guy who really excelled in college, there's a good chance here and a good, I'd say, warm-up for a guy like Gonzalez. But even so, there's other ways they can go. That's not really a one-man show on that offense. If Bryce Young starts getting into a rhythm, they've got to make sure that they can cover their bases here, because that is an offense that can hurt you in a lot of different ways. And I thought, even last week with the Steelers, like, that's sort of considered a one-man offense. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really last week. Like, they, whatever you may think about some of these teams, when they play the Patriots, they're able to do things that maybe they weren't able to do against other teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers in particular, that defense, I mean, we saw them get just, boat raced for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, they're out there and they're making things tough and turning over the Patriots and sort of flipping the script on you. So I'm interested in seeing what this Panthers team can do. This is a team that just shut out the Falcons 30-0. I mean, that's a rare score in the NFL
these days. It is. A lot of that had to do with, Michael Penix kind of making it easy for him with a couple interceptions. I think one pick six. But the one thing, one kind of game within a game, a matchup to watch, though, is Tet McMillan. If he is healthy and playing, although he has no touchdowns, he's got 6 explosive plays. The Patriots are one of the worst teams at defending explosive plays. And so, to me, that's something to watch. Is he averages 2 explosive plays, that meaning 20 plus yards or more in a reception makes it a explosive play. That is the weakness for the Patriots defense, and that is one of Tet's strengths. So that's something to watch right there.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how they kind of attack this Carolina offense. I don't think it's all that good. I think this is a very easy game for the defense to look way better, just like they did against Aaron Rodgers last week. But again, you cannot let Bryce Young, please, for the love of God, don't let Bryce Young beat you.
All right, joining us right now here on the phone lines from NBC Sports Boston, the great Tommy Curran joins us here on WEEI Football Sunday. Mr. Curran, how are we doing today?
I'm great. How are you? Looking forward to an entertaining football game.
I am too, and I'm doing very well. We decided to take your advice, and we're all being meaner to each other here on the show today.
Yeah, just expect excellence from each other. And if you don't get it, you can mention it. You can say that's going to be better. And if it's not, we're going to have to make a move.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start with the elephant in the room, which is that Ramondre Stevenson, according to Mike Vrabel, is not really going to be punished here. And I know you talked about this extensively all week with the various shows you appear on, and now you're going to have to talk about it again, Tom. But this is this has been a problem for Stevenson going back a year. I think a lot of people were expecting some kind of accountability, and it just doesn't seem as though that's going to be coming here today. What can that do to a locker room like this one?
I think the larger picture, and Mike kind of articulated it last week in saying that, look, we need to win football games. He's a talented player. We need him on the field. So he's trying to toe the line between, you know, Bill would put somebody in the doghouse, a Stephen Ridley, a Demario Douglas, a Kayshawn Booty. They would be exiled. But Mike's realization is that we're not in a position to take our best players off the field. We just have to expect more from them. So that's the urgency that the Patriots are showing to win football games. I think that you would want, if the locker room sees another ball pop out of his hands, say, well, who's that on? Is it on the player who continually has fumble problems and we put him back out there again to do the same thing that he's been doing, or is it on the player? So to me, there has to be some kind of, I would think, a reduced, you get the same thing from Antonio Gibson to a large extent that you do from Ramondre. So I think managing Ramondre's runs and carries, what really put me off on, you got to be a little bit more strident with your criticism, was the notion voiced both by Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels that these fumbles are team fumbles in some instances, that, you know, you have to do a better job protecting the individual with the ball. And if we run back all of the 9 fumbles that he has had, Ramondre, since the beginning of last year, most are on minimal contact. Even last week, the first fumble, the arm with the ball was not even contacted. So there's really very little that anyone else can do to stop Ramondre Stevenson. Those are his fumbles. It's not like he's being held up and guys are tearing at the ball. So that's what I'm kind of driving at with saying that let's not try and pretend that it isn't as bad as it is, because it's bad.
Yeah, Tom, that comment also irked me. It's not like he's getting peanut punched on every play. Like, it's just, it's infuriating. Ouch. And so I'm kind of curious why they won't really kind of allow Travion Henderson to step in and be more of it, not necessarily the bell cow, because I understand that there's concerns that he could hold up for an entire season getting that many touches, but at least be the leading early down back, and then you incorporate guys like Ramondre and Antonio Gibson in on other downs.
I'm not sure, Chris, I describe it as not allowing him. Mm-hmm. I think each guy has a role coming out of camp, and you suppose that Ramondre Stevenson is going to fill the role that you have for him, and then the other guy is going to apprentice until he can develop his roles and show you what he can do. You've got demonstrated film from Ramondre Stevenson that he can be a very good NFL running back. He can break tackles, he can catch the ball, he can make yards and explosive plays. So it's, okay, go ahead and do that. Now you're not doing it. I think that it's more of the role for Travion Henderson has not yet expanded to the point where they're doing that. I don't think it's a notion of he thinks he can't do it. It's like, we have a guy for that. He's supposed to do it. And if he's not, go ahead, bud.
I guess allowed was probably the wrong word. Why haven't they even, like, tested it, right? Because I think in the preseason, you know, we saw, you know, crack toss left and Travion takes it for 18 yards. And yet in the regular season, I haven't seen that at all. A lot of the carries he's had have been, you know, between the tackles, slightly off tackle. And I know his yards per carry isn't all that high, but I also don't feel like they're giving him the best opportunities to run outside the tackles, where I think he kind of flourishes. And so why have they not even tested it, especially, you know, on a week like last week when Ramondre's putting the ball on the carpet twice, Antonio Gibson's mm-hmm. fumbling. I guess I just don't understand why they're not even, like, just, you know, just dipping your toe in the water to see what Travion can do on early downs.
I got you. I just think that when they get into a game, the experimentation, that's not a word. The opportunity for experimenting kind of goes away based on down and distance. You're not saying, well, let's see how Travion does, because you have a game situation that you're confronting and the numbers are reduced. It's almost like it has to be a game plan into the week. We're going to do this with Travion. That's my feeling. in preseason, you could experiment all you want.
Okay.
But I do think the games and the situations, and it's not a bad question. I'm sure many fans have that question, and it's certainly a reasonable one. But my explanation for it is that you are not going to say, well, let's see how he does, because these games are so high leverage and every possession is so important that you don't want to say, well, let's see what happens with him when you've game planned differently for your supposed very good and dependable back, who then fumbles and undoes it and makes us say, well, why is he carrying the ball? Mm-hmm. Which is reasonable.
No doubt, Tom. All indications are that Christian Gonzalez is going to play today. What do you think how they're going to play him, and what do you think the impact will be with him being out there?
I'm wondering if it's going to be more involved than we anticipate as we sit here an hour and a half before the game. And the reason I say that is Christian Gonzalez wanted to play last week, so he must have felt he was full go last week. And Mike has talked a number of times about wanting the players to not make things worse, being able to protect themselves, and being able to perform at the highest level they can. So if that's the case, maybe he's going to play more than the, 50% of the snaps or 40% of the snaps that I kind of had anticipated. So that would be to the good. We won't know until we see. Your point about, run at him makes sense. Also, I would run a double move on the guy and see how he reacts to that.
Yep.
Would be not a bad idea. But I think he'll have a trickle-down effect if he plays like Christian Gonzalez on the entire defense. I mean, Alex Austin has performed nobly, but he is not a starting level corner at this juncture, I would say, in his career. And Gonzalez is a massive upgrade, so it should help across the board, especially against a team that's, around the very, very bottom of the league in terms of passing yards per game.
Tom, the inactives are out. They are Eric Gregory, Jared Wilson, Caden Wallace, Efton Chisholm, Elijah Ponder, and Tommy Cutlets for the third QB. I think a lot of people were maybe expecting that this could be the week that Efton Chisholm got off the bench with Pop Douglas having a couple of tough games. He's inactive again here. Any thoughts on the inactive list?
Just on the Chisholm / Douglas conversation.
Yes.
He has had a couple of tough games. As I've said a couple times, it's like, I think Drake May, for a guy who had 66 catches last year and closed 2023 as their best wide receiver, I give Pop Douglas more latitude. It looks to me as if Drake May is trying to hit a moving fire hydrant down the field when he's throwing to him. It's like, I don't understand why the connection has gone completely dry between those two players. So I understand it. He's a good player. I figured that he would be much more involved in terms of touches, and I figured that, you'd see more 7 targets, 6 catch, 68-yard games from Pop Douglas than we've seen. I mean, 7 targets, 2 catches, 3 yards. It's eye-poppingly disappointing relative to the expectations that I had for the role he would have in a Josh McDaniels offense.
Also, with Wilson out, any surprises you think on that side of the line?
No, I think it would be Ben Brown, and to me, it's certainly an area that you're going to have to look at and be a little bit concerned about, although Ben Brown played really well, in center last year when he came in, really well relative to the expectations when he had to come in. And that's one of the reasons that when the Patriots were out of Minnesota, they used Ben Brown extensively at left guard to give him the opportunity to get some reps just in case there was anything, build depth. So this is an opportunity to see what he can bring for the Patriots, along that line. And teams have run well against Carolina so far this season. So it would be interesting to see whether that is the number one concentration of the Patriots. Let's run the ball. Let's be who Mike Vrabel wants us to be.
Tom, I feel like, personally, I feel like there's been a lack of urgency out of this team to win football games. It just feels like to me, Mike Vrabel, maybe in the game, yeah, he wants to go for it like on a 4th-and-1. But overall, on the spectrum of the season, it doesn't feel like there is a sense of urgency to be a playoff contender and really win a ton of football games with how they treated Christian Gonzalez, with how Vrabel seems to be treating the penalties that this team is getting. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. What's your take on that?
I have never seen less urgency than I saw the last 2 seasons from the Patriots. Actually, go back to 2022. When they didn't even put an offensive coordinator in and said, we'll figure it out as we go along. 2023 with Mac, The lack of urgency, I think, and then last year just announcing it's a foundational year. We're going to build, see how we are. And Robert Kraft saying, I hope we don't struggle, but we might struggle. This year, you don't hear that. I kind of disagree in that they want to win football games. And if this was more foundational, then Ramondre Stevenson would be benched. And there would be more message sending, I think, going on to say, this is the culture. This is what we're trying to do. I do think that the Patriots want, obviously, every team wants to. And you understand that, too. But I do think that they're urgent to win these games. And he's trying to, I think Mike is, toe the line between dealing with a team that's probably still one of the lower-tier teams in terms of talent while pumping them up to let them know they're a better team than Pittsburgh. They demonstrated. I know Pittsburgh's doing well against Minnesota, or at least they were at last glance. They played better than Pittsburgh. They played better than Miami, who was a team that won six of its final nine games last year. They played as well as, except for the turnovers and the explosive plays, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, against the Raiders. So, to me, they are actually exceeding their talent level in terms of on-field performance. It's just the moronic mistakes that have prevented them from being 3-0. So it's funny. I guess I would continue to chase wins the way they are. And it's that, I think, is one of the really – we talked about at the beginning with Ramondre. Mike's trying to thread the needle between understanding his team isn't that good and he has no safe harbor to send messages – and then just has to cross his fingers and hope the guys perform for him. So that to me is one of the kind of the subplots to this season is we're trying to win. We told people we want to win the division. We told people we want to be in the playoffs, but we're still not that good.
All right. Well, do they win today?
They do.
Let's go. Right. Yep. Very good.
It's a 27-13 victory for the Patriots. Ooh.
27-13.
I have mine's 28-14. We're thinking very similarly. I think I think Carolina has no business winning this game, Tom.
Another huge week for Kayshon Booty, though. 6-106 on a touchdown.
Okay.
Tom. Call you a little nugget.
Let me get my gambling apps out. Tommy Kern, great stuff as always. Love talking with you, and we'll be watching it today on NBC Sports Boston. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Great job. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Tommy Kern, joining us here on WEEI Football Sundays. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to some phone calls here. They're jumping up on the line. And we'll get Wiggy's keys, Jermaine Wiggins, on the Greg Hill Show in the morning. He's got his keys to the game. Those are coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Wiggy's Keys here on WEEI Sunday Football. Football Sunday, maybe. How about that? It's Christian Arcan here. Ted Johnson, Chris Scheim. I'm just so excited for Wiggy's Keys, my favorite segment of the entire week. And so let's get to it with Wiggy. Here's key number one.
All right, my three keys to the game. Key number one, make sure you run the football. If you're the New England Patriots, you got to be able to run the football.
Okay, well, yeah, you got to run the football, that's for sure. You got to hold on to the football while you're running it is even more important than that. And that's what I – like, listen, if they have a tough day running the ball today, I'm not going to go crazy. If they fumbled three or four more times, I'm going to literally go crazy.
Yeah,
I can't deal with this anymore. You can't watch a product like this knowing that there's not going to be any consequences for it. If it keeps on happening, then this could spiral out of control, I think. That could be a major, major problem that follows this team around all season.
I have to – this is the perfect time. Thank you, Wiggy, for making that one of your keys because I have to get this off my chest. The Patriots running game is not getting talked about enough. They are the worst team in the NFL at running efficiently. What do I mean? No team has faced more seven-man boxes than the Patriots offense. What does that mean, Ted? What is seven-man? That means that's a lighter box. If you have seven guys in the box, that means you have two safeties deep. That means you have a light box. That is when you should be running the football. The Patriots running game sucks against seven-man boxes. What teams do if you have a good running game is they bring an eighth guy down into the box, and that's when you go to work on the edges and start passing the ball. The fact they can't run effectively in these seven-man boxes is something that is not getting talked enough about. The Patriots running game has got to start getting better. And you're facing the 25th ranked rush defense in Carolina Panthers. So today's the day, man. Let's go. Let's get this running game going, because then it opens up the play action pass and you're more effective and more balanced.
Which is weird, because in terms of like composite ranking, so like if you take like the ESPN offensive line ranking and the PFF grading basically and kind of put them together, the Patriots are in like the top 12 in terms of actually run blocking, and yet they're not being able to convert that into actual production. It's infuriating. And on top of the turnovers, I mean, that's just that sends me over the top.
Yeah, the turnovers are a big problem. Now, let's say Travion Henderson. Let's say you get your wish today, Shyam, and Henderson gets a ton of carries.
Yeah, baby.
He hasn't exactly been, you know, tough to take down so far this year. It's not like he's been really impressive.
No, I don't believe that he has, but I also don't think he's been put in the best opportunities. Like, again, like, where's the?
I mean, he was the feature back for about two series after Gibson and Stevens.
Yeah, what did they run? H back dive like 10 times. Like,
kinda,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing?
We didn't do anything with it.
He's a running back that is super uber explosive. He's supposed to be playing on the outside way more than the inside. Like, he is not Derrick Henry. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not meant to take it between the tackles 10 to 20 times. Like, you should be running toss left, toss right. Like, he is great in the screen game. He is.
Get him in open space.
Yeah, get him in open space and let the guy work. Let the guy cook. Like, that's where he excels, and yet they have not played to his strengths. Instead, they're only running toss plays on fourth and one, which make no sense to me.
All right, key number two, Wiggs.
Key number two is get after the quarterback. You got to make Bryce Young feel uncomfortable back there. His young age, your ability to get after him, make him frustrated, he'll throw you some interceptions.
I liked how he said, you got to get after, and he paused, and he goes, the quarterback. That's great. And then he eventually got, you got to get Bryce Young, got to go out there and get him. The pass rush so far for the Patriots has been a nice little unexpected, for me anyway. I didn't expect them to come together this quickly. Landry's been very good. Williams had that game-clinching sack against the Dolphins.
Chaisson had a sack last week.
Yeah, Chaisson was good. I mean, you're seeing this unit start to come together.
Good, Williams. Yeah, you know, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good, and that's when you have a team that's ranked 10th in pass rush rate, like the Patriots defensive front is, you would think that would equate to better secondary play. It is not. No. That's the maddening thing. Usually good pass rush means that you're effective on the back end. Hopefully with Christian Gonzalez out there, Shyam, that'll finally even out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, but I'm still dubious.
Yeah, I get it. But Milton Williams, the name that we're not mentioning, who is the second highest paid defensive lineman, is Barmore. I mean, he has kind of been just nowhere to be found, where Milton's kind of putting some thinking up the stat sheet. Let's go, Barmore. Let's go, buddy.
Well, I know early he was getting doubled a lot more than Milton Williams, and that was one of the major reasons probably why you didn't see his name popping up. And so maybe now that Milton Williams has had more success, especially in the pass rush category, you might see less doubling on Barmore, so his name might pop up a little bit more going forward.
I'd like to see some of Keon White this week. I feel like I haven't seen him at all. Oh. I feel like his name never gets called, nothing. So
he was out, one of the weeks, and like he just, like, I don't,
he got
yeah,
sick,
I don't think
yeah.
he is.
Yeah. I'd love to see him make a difference in any of these games.
I don't think it's going to happen, Bob.
Be nice if it started tonight. All right, let's key number three.
And always, the most important thing I'd love for them to do is get Drake May's legs involved. I'd love to see some design runs for Drake May. Use his athletic ability. Get him on the edge. Roll him out, legs. Make him use his legs to get you that W. Those are the three keys, your boy Wiggy.
out.
All right. Thanks, Wiggy. That is Wiggy's Keys, number three, moving the legs of Drake May. I know that's something you feel strongly about there, Chris Scheim.
Yep.
I tend to as well, just because it's one of the few things in this offense that consistently seems to produce yards and first downs and scores and whatever. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. I think that's a good thing. Not to just lean on the entire game, but to be able to mix in to keep the teams off balance. And if that means, you know, bootlegs and things like that to give them more space and give the receivers more time, then fine. Go for it.
Did it great. They did a great job of it late in that game against the Steelers. I think it was 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2. They had him roll out, and the edge, I want to say it was Herbig, was like on him, but he was never closing the gap, and Drake wasn't even at 100% running. He's looking down the field, no options. What's he do? He takes it, runs it for 12 yards, gets out of bounds. Like, that's where Drake May excels, which is why I don't understand they never do that in the red zone. Never. Before the half, 3 straight pass plays. Like, dude, roll him out once.
Yeah,
instead
I love
of
that.
Just like the straight drop back play action pass or the fade to the corner of the end zone, which drives me nuts. You don't have a jump ball winner anyways. Like, why are you not rolling him out? Yeah. If you need 2 yards, take away half the field for reads, limit his amount of reads, and give him the option to run. That will make him more successful than he has ever been.
Hey, Sean, I'm agreeing with a lot of the stuff you got going today, man. You're cooking today, man. I love boots in the red zone, okay? Love boots in the red zone because it gives you a two-way go. It makes the reads easier. It cuts down half the field.
You're already out of the tackle box. If you need to throw it away, it's a simple throwaway.
And look at the game plan against the Miami Dolphins. There was the boots were executed perfectly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love it gives you the two-way go. So he rolls out, and if he doesn't like what he sees down the field, then he tucks it and runs with it. Now, what is interesting is if you're going to put – you got to play him under center more.
Agreed.
Right? So if you're going to do boots, that's how you do it. You're going to be under center. What I'm seeing – I saw the Steelers do is they blitzed a lot when they put him under center because it's seven-step drop back. It's like he's got his back turned to the defense for so long, and then when he finally faces, they have pressure off the edge.
Yeah.
So I think they're a little bit nervous. That's not what he's accustomed to doing in college or in the last year in his first year as a pro, is being under center. I love Drake May under center.
Yeah, me too.
I think he looks – I know it's not what he's done before, but he looks really good running boots and play action out of being out of under center.
And the other suggestion I would make, though, is like if you feel more comfortable with him in shotgun because of that exact reason, then like – why aren't you running more RPO? Like, what are we doing? Mm. Allow him to make that decision. You see that edge. If he's coming for the quarterback, give it to the running back.
I agree.
If he's going with the running back, you keep it and take it and take it for 3 yards. Like, I feel like there's so many missed opportunities with the play caller.
Those were Wiggy's keys to the game. We're going to continue with Football Sunday here on WEEI. We'll have our top 10 list coming up at 12:20. We'll get into some degeneracy at 12:45 with myself and Chris Scheim, and we'll reset on all the top stories of the day. When we come back here, don't go anywhere. It's Football Sunday on WEEI.
That means you have a light box.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.